my grandmother died of breast cancer when I was a kid. And then maybe 5 years later, my grandfather died of esophageal cancer. My dad has chronic lymphocytic leukemia, although he's doing quite well. It's been in my family, probably just like all the listeners out there. It's been in your family, so it impacts you. I think being touched by it just makes such a big difference in your passion for it. It was not my first love to destroy cancer, by the way. My first dream was to be a dancer. But I think the creativity of dance and movement and like thinking about the next step and creating something collectively that becomes beautiful, and science aren't that different. There's very few places where you can be impactful and creative at the same time, and science lets you do that in no way that I've ever experienced before.
From the Medical University of South Carolina, it's Science Never Sleeps, a show that explores the science, the people, innovation, and stories behind the scenes of MUSC biomedical research at work. I'm Bobby Connor. On today's show, a conversation about the dedication, scientific investigation, collaboration, and creativity involved in cancer immunotherapy research.
The creativity is something that I really try to cultivate in my lab, but I think it's just a natural thing. Everyone in my laboratory helps each other a lot, and then we're always hovering over a discovery. And sometimes discoveries take a while. You'll do an experiment where you manipulate a T cell a certain way, and then you put it into this assay or you put it into a mouse model, and it takes time to see the readout. But what I love about the people in my laboratory is they'll take a measurement of the tumor every single day, and every time someone else is entering the data into the computer, everyone else is hovered around looking at the data, talking about it. What does that mean? Oh, it didn't go the way I thought, or it's exactly the way I thought. They all want to do well, and so they inspire each other, too. But there's a lot of creativity in my lab.
That's Dr. Crystal Paulos. She's an associate professor of microbiology and immunology and dermatology at MUSC. She's been involved in cancer research since the year 2000. Dr. Paulos is a T-cell immunologist investigating T-cell-based immunotherapies for cancer. In order to understand the research that Dr. Paulos and her team are engaged in, we first need to hear about a certain type of immune cell called a T cell.
It is a blood cell that's derived from the thymus in our body. It then matures, and there are many types of T cells. What's classically known as a T cell that we want all of our students to be able to answer is that they express a T cell receptor. And so a T-cell receptor can recognize different types of antigen in our body. Particularly, for example, when we get the flu, your body detects that as foreign, and the T-cell receptor can recognize flu-specific antigen and then mount a response and clear the flu so that your body is safe again. So we're learning lessons about how the immune system can protect us from all sorts of things, and now using that information to turn it against cancer.
Dr. Paulos finished her PhD in chemistry in 2004 and shortly thereafter decided to change the course of her career, focusing exclusively on cancer immunotherapy with the goal of one day having her own research lab in this specialty area. The Paulos Lab was established at MUSC in 2011, and today the main research focus in this lab is tweaking the immune system to destroy cancer.
What we're most well known for doing is taking T cells out of the patient's peripheral blood, and we can genetically manipulate them. And then we can put those T cells back into the patient, and they can actually now recognize the tumor and kill that tumor.
What goes on in your lab in the way of cancer research?
We work very closely with physician scientists. They give us immune cells from those patients, and we study those T cells, and we look at their biology. And in some patients, they have great survival responses against certain cancer immunotherapies, while others don't. And so we start to understand what type of T cell is mounting a response against the cancer versus ones that aren't doing such a great job. So we can really start to understand the patient's immune system and what makes it tick.
And how about collaboration just sort of worldwide? Do you feel as a research scientist that there's some kind of synergy going on that maybe the rest of the people who aren't in the science fields are aware of with regards to cancer immunotherapy?
Yeah, the collaborations are shockingly easy to do. We had an investigator here from Yale University yesterday. We've already talked about experiments. He's going to send me reagents. I'm going to send him reagents. And the world is very small now, but the passion to kill cancer resonates among so many people, and we are all interested in the same goal. The collaborative spirit, and particularly in cancer immunotherapy, is, I think, almost unparalleled.
Do you have that attitude, Dr. Paulos, that these goals that you have in mind to make huge improvements in cancer outcomes, that this might take a long time?
It used to take a long time, I think. But what I'm seeing now is people are believing and know it's true now that you can impact the immune system and that it does something. So now there's significant investment everywhere by many people. And there are highly qualified physician scientists, great clinical teams, people who know how to put the know-how behind getting an idea into a patient. And that all existed in USC, and it's happening faster and more fiercely than ever before. In fact, we have patented some research that an investor really liked and is forming a company with me. And we're raising about $5 million, and we want to engineer T cells to elicit anti-tumor responses against hard-to-treat solid tumors, such as ovarian cancer, pancreatic cancer, lung cancer, all of which these cancers have the same antigen on them. So we can hopefully target that tumor specifically in a safe way. And we've discovered a certain T cell subset that has this marker on it that identifies it as a really fit T cell. And we're now able to sort that fit T cell out of T cells that might be with cells that aren't very good. And when we do that, we see that we can make the T cell much better. So we now have company investment where we're able to work with people at MUSC in the clean cell facility, and we are going to do this. And we're going to treat 10 to 12 people. And it's going to happen within a short period of time.
Dr. Paulos was the lead author on a research paper published in the Journal of Clinical Investigation in 2007 that continues to have an impact on advancing cancer immunotherapy research worldwide. That research focused on a connection between the human microbiome, chemotherapy, and the response a patient has to cancer immunotherapy treatment. I asked Dr. Paulos what has happened in the way of further research from other scientists on the heels of her research paper that was published in 2007.
There's a lot that's going on. At the University of Chicago, MD Anderson, many groups in France and in Italy have all shown that patients that do well with cancer immunotherapy have been shown to have a certain microbiome signature. And so now investigators are trying to detect what those microbes are and to use those microbes. And you could even then give them to patients that don't respond to try to wake up that immune system, because some patients have those microbes and some don't. And our laboratory is also still following up on this work. Clinical trials are now happening where TLR agonists are being administered along with PD-1 therapy. So it's a wide open field, and lots of investigators are putting significant time and energy into it. And there are companies now that are working solely on that. In fact, we have a couple companies that we work with that want us to test their microbial agents in the context of empowering and making a T cell better.
It must be encouraging to see this ripple effect from the publication of your research.
It's always nice to see that other people see what you are seeing. It's also really satisfying that it can be used to improve patient outcomes. I think that we're just at the tip of the iceberg, really. There's so much more to learn.
What do you see as the biggest challenge right now at this moment in time for taking immunotherapy for cancer patients to the next level?
One of the biggest challenges is that there are a number of patients that simply can't afford it. The other challenge is that there are patients that don't even know about it. And so one big dream of mine is to make the kind of stuff we do, which is expensive, much cheaper.
What keeps you up at night in terms of challenges or questions in your research?
The one thing that keeps me up at night is the patients that don't respond or certain patient populations. So certain T cell therapies work really well in some cancers and not at all in others. And so how can you tackle the bigger problem and make things more effective for a broader patient population? The other thing that keeps me up at night is data. My graduate students or my postdocs will give me really interesting big data sets where the information is almost beyond the scope of what I can contemplate. For example, my postdoc, Dr. Connor Dwyer, has discovered a way to generate T cells to make them more fit using a pharmaceutical reagent that's already used in patients, and we're repurposing it for T cells. And when he gave me this big data set, I was looking at the data until 11, and I went to bed, but I couldn't sleep. So I got up 2 hours later, and I spent hours and hours and hours looking at the data, and finally something, and I could be totally wrong, by the way, but something registered a mechanism of how I think it works, given the data set that existed. So that was exciting, because I'm like, I think I know how it worked, and brand new information is so exciting.
How do you run with that? Is that something now you're going to work on?
We are always strategizing on when we see something, now what? Is it true? If it is true and that factor X went up 100-fold, let's knock it down and see if you remove that one factor, which we think that drug did to that T cell to make it amazingly fit and therapeutic. If we knock that element out, does it go away? And we've had situations like that, but often there are multiple reasons why a manipulation makes something better. But every once in a while, it's that one thing.
After talking about immunotherapy research, we stopped by the lab to see what was going on. There was a buzz of activity and a lively conversation going on among the researchers. Giant tanks of medical nitrogen were lined up along the walls, assorted test tubes, beakers, bottles of colorful solution, microscopes, and one piece of equipment on the countertop that I didn't recognize. I asked Dr. Paulos about the most important things in her lab for the immunotherapy research underway here.
The people are most important. I have 4 graduate students, and I have an amazing postdoc, and I have a spectacular lab manager, and they come up with the great ideas, and they have expertise in either medicine or science or both. And besides the people, we have some nice equipment, like you said, and probably the most heavily used instrument in our lab is this instrument right behind you called a flow cytometer.
And what is that?
It's an instrument that detects proteins that are on the cell surface of immune cells, and it allows us to distinguish one immune cell from another. You can discern one type of T cell that might not be very good at killing a tumor versus one that's really fit. You can use it to understand mechanisms of why one patient might do well versus one that might not, just by looking at a multi-parameter of different proteins on the surface of immune cells. And we can use that information to really discern what's going on in the immune response. Almost all investigators that do cancer immunotherapy rely on a flow cytometer.
What about other equipment here that's essential?
We have a microscope that we use all the time to look at the health of our T cells. We can look at their morphology and just see their function in general. And we can do the same with cancer cells. We can see if the cancer cells are growing and their behavior. And we also do this with patient T cell samples, too. Interestingly, some patients have T cells from their tumor that will go really rapidly. Some do not. And that information can help us inform whether even sometimes a patient will have a response or not.
And Dr. Paulos, how did you learn to run a lab?
Obviously, I learned from being in other laboratories, having other mentors before I became a mentor myself. But I would say that running a lab and having that skill set really came from my parents and their ability to run restaurants. They're restaurant owners. And so when I was a kid, I would see how they worked with other people and really kind of align yourself in a way that you can get the most out of the people that you work with. And they can get the most out of you, too. So in terms of business and finance, I would say my parents and their ability to run restaurants.
Dr. Crystal Paulos is an associate professor of microbiology and immunology and dermatology, and she is the lead T-cell immunologist in the Paulos Lab at MUSC. I'm Bobby Connor with Science Never Sleeps from the Medical University of South Carolina.